content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Baby, do you want to go higher? Baby, you're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Anthony Cernelia. I almost said Diamond Gray. You know, we're all creatures of habit. I've got Aviana Barrientos back in studio with me today, and my very dear friend, Faye Alahi, is in studio with us today as well. So, TGIF, everyone.
TGIF.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Can't believe it.
Yeah. You know, we talk about animals a lot on the show, we do, and Maura Davies is also a regular guest on the show. She is the Vice President of Communications at the SPCA, that is the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals of North Texas. Their website is spca.org. Always a pleasure. Maura Davies, how are you doing today?
Hi, doing great. It's always a pleasure to be on the show, Bernadette. Oh my goodness. We have so many important things to talk about so that folks out there know how to best care for their pets.
Well, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, this is a big subject, not just for your pets, but for you. How
yes.
obesity may shorten your pet's lifespan. And so
yes.
I have a chubby one. My chubbiest one is Ruby.
Yeah.
And she's probably diabetic, but I don't treat her for it because she's doing pretty well on her own. And I'm trying to get her weight down, And I think that the diabetes will go away when I do. And so this is a big thing, though. So obesity is a nationwide epidemic for our pets. In fact, according to several studies, over 50% of American pets are overweight or obese. Unfortunately, being obese can shorten a pet's lifespan. So how do we fix this problem? How does obesity in pets have anything to do with genetics, maybe? Or is it based
on... what I have heard mostly is not necessarily genetics, but diet... and lack of exercise.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like humans.
Yeah.
And so, but you know, quality of food, pet food is such a big thing too. And you know, now the big thing is no grain.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Maura? And you know what? I'll bring Faye Alahi in on this too, because she's a nutritionist. What do you both think about the no grain dog food?
From my perspective, different pets are going to need different mixes of nutrients to make sure that they're healthy. All the different items. Some animals are pure carnivores. Some animals are omnivores. From what I understand from every veterinarian I've ever worked with, you really need to tailor your pet's diet to what their needs are. And those needs can even vary among dogs. Or cats. I'll give you my cat for an example. He was diabetic, but he lost 5 pounds, which he was extremely obese. Oh my goodness, poor guy. We were just feeding him a good food, but he really needed a restricted calorie food. It wasn't even as much about exercise for him. Once he lost the weight, he was at 18 pounds. I mean, he needed to be at 12 pounds. So working with our veterinarian, you know, he got his insulin and he got his diet and he lost that weight healthily, safely, and he went into remission. And now he's hyperthyroid. And so he has different needs of different nutrients in his food. So they just make sure there are a lot of people out there who say grain, no grain. Some animals can absolutely be allergic to grain products, so that's something to think about.
Oh, wow.
It really is up to that particular pet, regardless or depending on what breed, what species they are. Yeah.
Well, I don't do this. I'm guilty of not walking my pets, but I do have a big yard and I get out there when I play with them and I throw the ball, you know. But how important is regular walking and exercise for your pets?
Regular exercise or walking is extremely important. For dogs, it's very important. You don't even know sometimes if your pet gets too much food. If they're eating, you may keep feeding them. And something that you can do to help them from gaining weight is to get them out there and get them active. So whether it's a short walk or a long walk, tossing the ball in the backyard, throwing the frisbee, going to the dog park, different breeds of dogs also need different exercise levels. For example, there's a whole group of dogs with little smushed-in faces, like the pugs and the Pekingese and all mm-hmm. those cutie pies. They're called brachiocephalic because of how their noses are wired inside mm-hmm. their cute little heads. And if you take them out for a long run, it could kill them.
Wow.
Whereas there are some dogs that want to run and run and run. They're bred to run.
Mm-hmm.
So it depends on your dog's breed, on their age, on their health levels. But for the most part, a healthy adult dog is going to really enjoy at least a couple of walks a day. Now, if it's the summer, I will say that really quickly, I'd add one thing. If it's 1 million degrees outside or 110 or 105 and it feels like a million, please do not walk your pet in the heat of the day. Make sure you do it early morning or late night.
Well, and watch their paws. I was in Victory Park last night, stopped by to see my friend that has a little business down there. And and I was like, oh my gosh, this guy was walking dogs. You could tell he was a dog walker. And he wasn't paying any attention. I mean, this was at like 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon, I think, somewhere around there. The pavement was burning hot. And he didn't even pay any attention to the dogs. We kept picking up their paws, you know.
That's the worst when they're obviously uncomfortable.
And so, but they're, you know, I had to bring it to his attention. And I think he was a little irritated, but I do feel instinctively that he had no idea.
Yeah.
And he's a professional dog walker.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
It's important to think about that. If you take your shoes and socks off, and you put your foot on that pavement, it burns your foot. Trust me, it's going to burn a pet's foot.
Mm-hmm.
It's the common sense. If you're hot outside, a dog's going to be hot outside. If it's cold outside, a dog's going to be cold outside.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, and I just worry so much about them. I swear, I worry so much about them. When you said Pekingese, it brought me back to, like, I don't know, 25 years ago, a little Pekingese that I found on Jim Miller Road on my way either to or from the original Pizza Patron, which was at 5440 Jim Miller Road down in the Grove, deep into the Grove, where there were so many homeless pets back in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And a little Pekingese that had one of its eyes was missing. And Dr. Jimmy Norris, you know, helped me. He did the surgery on the eye, and we did end up finding her a really nice home. But there's so many homeless animals all over. We are making an impact with all of the work with the SPCA and, you know, organizations like Best Friends and all the organizations out there. But it is important, isn't it, Maura, to take really good care of your pets, and that includes watching their weight.
Absolutely. Yeah. Watching their weight, you'll prevent things like joint disease, heart disease, liver, skin, respiratory disease, diabetes, even heat stroke.
Mm-hmm.
And even some forms of cancer have been linked to obesity. So
yeah,
it's a big deal.
Well, my boy Mick is doing so well. He's 16 years old now. And
he's so chipper.
I swear it is crazy. And he's a little thin, you know, on the thin side, kind of like as you get older, sometimes you get a little thinner.
Yeah.
And his teeth look good, and he's just so happy. You know, he sleeps in bed with me every night. You would think he was my husband. The way he's in bed is ridiculous. He's all spread out.
Yeah, you got to introduce him to your future husband before you get selected.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. But I think that's another reason he's so happy.
Sweet.
And he's so happy, and he's 16 years old, and he's not a small breed. He's a Labrador mix, a black lab. And so they don't typically live that long, do they?
That's a long time for a bigger dog, which is wonderful. Happy kiddo. Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
So cute.
Well, so Maura, if your pet is obese, what are the first steps to take to help them shed some of the pounds in a healthy way?
Absolutely. Well, you're going to look to two things. You're going to look to diet and exercise. So first thing, get with your veterinarian about what your pet's dietary needs might be, whether your veterinarian can also help you determine what amount of food to give your pet. This is really important to note, because sometimes people will just kind of cut back on their pet's food thinking, oh, I'll give you less food and you'll lose weight. But it's really, even though there are those special weight management diets out there and then people cut it back, but your pet is going to need a certain amount of food to make sure they get the nutrients that they need to stay healthy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's really, really important to work with your veterinarian on food, because it's such, it's a lot harder to kind of eyeball it from the layman's perspective. But then the other half of that equation, though, is exercise. If it's 1 million degrees outside, like I said, just walk early in the morning, late at night. Even for older dogs who don't have all their vaccines yet and can't get out to the dog park, and play with them inside. Play them with them in your yard. Throw the tennis ball. And for cats, there are a million toys that can make them, you know, do all kinds of fun stuff. And even those that have, like, little room for treats, so they'll get your pet searching for the treats. Now, make sure they're not very, make sure the treats are part of your overall diet strategy. Yeah. That's important too.
My daughter's just bought a new cat toy for all 12 of ours. they're all spread all over the house. So you really don't think it's a crazy situation because you don't ever see them all at once. But but they bought this little thing that you push the top button and it turns on and like these little hands come shooting out with little feathers on the end and then go back in. They go in and they go out and it makes the cats just so curious right. and fun. They have a lot of fun with it. I don't know where they got it. Probably Amazon.
Look for that one. That sounds really cool.
But I think it's battery driven. But anyway, always a pleasure, Maura, to have you on the show. Thank you so much for getting us educated about how obesity may shorten your pet's lifespan. Thank you so
Absolutely.
Much.
Thank you. And everyone, spay neuter your pets.
Absolutely. And adopt, don't shop. There are some wonderful animals that are in our shelters that all need good homes. So, and it's an environmental thing, too. So help out the environment, help out the animals, and adopt, don't shop. Thank you so much, Maura. Everyone, we've got a fantastic show coming up. We're going to be talking about flourishing with artificial intelligence with Darshan Goswami. That's a hard name to say. And then, of course, Faye Elahi, Diet, Lifestyle, and Parkinson's. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Anthony Cernelia. I've got Aviana Barrientos in studio with me and Faye Elahi and a very special guest on the line. It is Darshan Goswami. He has over 40 years of experience in field energy. He worked as a project manager for renewable energy, microgrid, and smart grid projects at the United States Department of Energy in Pittsburgh. He retired as chief of renewable energy from the United States Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C. Mr. Goswami is a registered professional electrical engineer with a passion and commitment to promote, develop, and deploy renewable energy resources and the hydrogen economy. In dedication to his life serving humanity, he is the founder and supporter of the Indian Foundation for Children Education and Care Incorporated, whose mission is to eliminate poverty in India through the education of underprivileged children and elevate the standard of living of poor women through empowerment, which is absolutely wonderful. He is also a spiritual yoga and meditation teacher. Such an honor to have Darshan with us today. Welcome. So happy to have you with us.
Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to share my knowledge. I'm so blessed to have expressed my feelings.
Well,
thank you.
You're very welcome, and it's such a pleasure. As soon as you start speaking, you put a big smile on my face, and it's genuine. I just love all the work that you've done. I just respect you so much, sir. I do. So let's talk about this. Flourishing with artificial intelligence. What is artificial intelligence, and how is it currently being used?
Artificial intelligence is a wide-ranging tool that enables us to more effectively integrate information, analyze data, and use the resulting insight to improve the decision-making. Artificial intelligence is a simulation of human intelligence by computer system. And also, it's a process by which a computer can learn all the skills can human can, and computer that can think and make its own decision. It's kind of scary, right?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. That's one of the questions instinctively where my mind was going, because so many people are very, very afraid of artificial intelligence. That one of the recent copies of Nature magazine, the International Weekly Journal of Science, there are several stories about engineering intelligent systems with AI, an intelligent union for the future of AI, like all these different, articles covering so much of it. And there's so much going on in China with this. They are... fundamentally, I think, the leaders in this field, are they not?
Yes, they are. And let me give you some specific examples. Extraordinary advances in artificial intelligence are occurring every day in our life. For instance, all the robots, driverless cars are becoming so popular. Artificial intelligence is already driving a new wave of economic progress, solving some of the world's most difficult problems and providing solutions to some of the most profound challenges in human history. AI has the potential to transform many sectors such as information technology, telecommunication, transportation, traffic management, healthcare, education, criminal justice, defense, banking, agriculture, and so on. It has a huge potential.
It really does. It does. And so there are so many concerns, though. So, what are some of the concerns regarding the future impact of artificial intelligence, specifically on jobs and personal privacy?
Yes, there are a lot of concern because there are a lot of unknown. The most biggest concern is the future of work. And the future of work is, can you imagine some of the most jobs created today could be eliminated. 50% of the job could be eliminated by next 10, 15 years.
Wow. Well, as I was reading your article, Flourishing with Artificial Intelligence, which is in this month's issue of the Well-Being Journal, or I believe it was last month's issue, but it's an incredible topic, and you touch on so many different things. And one of the things that I thought was very fascinating, and it was something that you pulled from an article that was in the New York Magazine from March 30th, 1970, and it talked about even back then, that we keep inventing jobs because of this false idea that everybody has to be employed at some kind of a drudgery, because according to Malthusian Darwinian theory, he must justify his right to exist. And so many people, this is connected to a lot of different things, that we don't have to do menial work. A lot of people agree with that. A lot of people disagree with it. What's your opinion on that?
There are a lot of positive and negative and side effects. For example, 60% of the business could be automated in next 5 years. It's a very scary thought. But on the other hand, GDP, PricewaterhouseCooper has estimated that it could increase our global GDP by $15.7 trillion or 14% by 2030.
Wow.
And China is already taking advantage of this. China dominates in a global artificial intelligence and investing lots of money in the futuristic technology. For everything from smart agriculture and intelligent logistics and emergency application. So there are a lot of positive side and a lot of negative side, but hopefully humanity or people who are developing, they will use it for the positive side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there's some ethical questions here, wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely, there are ethical questions, and I have addressed some of those ethical questions in my article. And let me address a negative effect of this.
Okay.
Computers are replacing human jobs all over the world. For example, 90% of the new cars are made today are made by robots.
Wow.
AI poses one of the greatest ethical challenges as we incorporate its collective effort into human life and technology. And there are a lot of ethical questions and human rights questions. It will violate human rights depending on, like when a nuclear power was developed, the intent was are positive, but human mind uses it for negative and a positive effect. So it's not clear if the proper policies and regulations are developed, we can monitor to develop AI, artificial intelligence, properly.
Well, and they're using it for some remarkable things. I was at a symposium at the Center for Brain Health, and there was a doctor there that is using, and he actually has a book coming out soon. I can't recall the name of it, but it was fascinating that they were using artificial intelligence to stimulate certain environments in order to treat military and also children and just overall anxiety of people that have different fears of different things, to put them in an artificial intelligence environment to have them face their fears. And it was quite fascinating. It really was.
It does raise a lot of concern about the possibility of a negative thing, as you mentioned, on the jobs, personal privacy, society, the economy, and the politics as well, you know. Mm-hmm. But we have to make sure that there are proper policies in place. A politician should create a public policy that regulates the proper use of artificial intelligence.
Well, what are some examples where AI is already augmenting human capabilities?
I can give you a wonderful example, and you will be even amazed by what kind of thing. For example, smart cities are being developed all over the world. And for example, a $7.5 billion a smart city project is going on in Las Vegas right now.
Oh, wow.
It's a smart city, and they can do wonderful new range of technology, automation, all that stuff. Computer will be smarter than human brain. For example, I'm sure you heard about IBM Watson. And I'm going to give you an example of IBM Watson. A doctor reads about half a dozen medical research papers in a month. Watson, IBM Watson, can read 500,000 papers in about 15 seconds.
Wow.
Watson can also diagnose and propose the proper cure treatment more accurate than any doctor can. So these are some of the very positive examples.
Yeah.
Let me give you something that is coming up in 2020. The one of the things that robot will be doing, conducting your next job interview. There's a company called Farhat. They have already put out a software. Can you imagine a robot will interview for a job interview, and no discrimination, no religion, no nothing will come intervene. Let me give you another example of Dubai Airport, what they are planning to do. They have developed robots, artificial intelligence. When you walk into the airport, the customs officials will be a robot. They'll interview, take your picture, know everything what you are. And the second, your baggage handling.
Mm-hmm.
Only the robot will handle your baggage. No people will be involved. The traffic manager, the airport traffic management, will be all done by robots, artificial intelligence.
Wow.
And the best example is automated vehicle. What they are trying to do is take the self-driving vehicle and through solar power only, and all the electrical energy generated by solar power. The Dubai Airport, from day to day, your luggage arrives. It'll be collected by artificial intelligence robots. They will bring it to you on a side road wherever you want to, or they will have a vehicle and they will drive to your hotel all by itself. Dubai is planning all these things by 2020, next year.
Wow.
Can you imagine how this will change the world? They will take you to the hotel, all the luggage. The robot will take you. Artificial intelligence will take care of all this.
Wow. Well, and I think when I was speaking earlier, I was talking about virtual reality, but they're all kind of related, right? Because we are talking about technology, high-level technology that is improving people's lives, right?
Absolutely. The whole thing behind this is a data right now. Everything is a data science. Data analysis, data science, machine learning, and all these will be data. And our concerns are privacy, because as we know already, our privacy is minimal. You can go on a Google, search everything about anybody. And more data are collected by computers. That is also one of the big concerns.
Yeah. Well, it's been great having you on the show. I have one more question for you. So how must we prepare the future scientists and engineers for this dramatic revolution?
We must create proper public policies. Our politicians, whoever people are in charge in different cities, different countries, and to realize full potential, government need to create a public policy that fosters artificial intelligence innovation while mitigating unintended social consequences. That is the bottom line.
Yeah,
we need to actually address this issue. Mm-hmm. Just like, you know, computers, all these things we have gone through, internet, we have to create a public policy.
Yeah.
And it's up to the politician to create the right kind of policy to protect our privacy.
And aren't they working on public policy in Europe right now that they're hoping will spread worldwide that of ethics that all scientists will follow?
Absolutely. Europe has already prepared the policy they have in place, and other people should follow Europe's example to create this policy to protect our privacy.
Well, let's pray that they do.
Yes.
So,
not only have to protect our privacy, we have to make sure it impacts the economy properly. All the possible negative effects of jobs, personal privacy, society, the economy, and the politics should be addressed.
Wow. Well, it's been fascinating speaking with you today, Darshan. Thank you so much for being on One Life Radio, and I hope you'll come back. It's been quite intriguing. It really has to listen to everything going.
Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to share my knowledge.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Thank you. All right, everyone, stay tuned. We've got more coming up. Faye Elahi going to be talking about diet, lifestyle, and Parkinson's. You are listening to One Life Radio. One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Anthony Cernelia, Aviana Barrientos. I've got Faye Elahi in studio with me as well today. She is a psychologist and nutritionist with a private practice here in Dallas since 2001. We're going to get to this content here in just a second. I want to let everyone know that you can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast or subscribe to our newsletter. Also, you can go to iHeartMedia.com to listen live or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. A big shout out to our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior, Enviromedica, Crazy Water, Paleo Magazine, The Wellbeing Journal, Thorne Research, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. All right, let's get to this, Faye. Diet, lifestyle, and Parkinson's. So let's hear your story. So do you want to talk about that first?
Sure.
You know, let me read your bio. Yes. I got so excited about you being here, I just like skipped right over it. I keep doing that. Lately, I don't know what's up, but Faye Elahi is a psychologist and nutritionist with a private practice in Dallas, Texas. Since 2001, she specializes in food allergies, food intolerances, celiac, gluten sensitivity, ADD, ADHD, and autism spectrum disorders. She is also a public speaker, blogger, researcher, and the author of Ready, Set, Eat. Her websites are glutenfreenutritionforlife.com and specialneedsnutrition.com. That's specialneedsnutrition.com. Okay, today we're talking about specifically Parkinson's. And
yes.
So does science know what causes Parkinson's disease?
Absolutely not. Unfortunately, I was very disappointed when I was diagnosed. I went to my neurologist, who is a good friend, and I was expecting to hear an earful about this is what's causing it, have all the answers to my questions. In other words, right? That's
right.
What you expect when you
yes.
go to the doctor, right? Well, it wasn't his fault. Of course, no doctor would know that.
But they're practicing medicine,
but
so they don't know everything
That's
yet,
true.
Right?
That is true. Basically he said, but I liked what I heard. He had at least an open mind about the possibility of toxins in the environment as triggers of Parkinson's. So at least we have something to kind of hold on to and
right.
work with. So toxins, it could be water, lead and mercury in the water, in the air, in the food that we ingest. I know exactly what caused mine, though, if your listeners are interested in
Absolutely.
Hearing it. And you are. Mine was caused directly by the toxins that I ingested through swimming, because I was a swimmer as a child.
Oh,
and
wow.
what do they put in the water? Chlorine.
Oh, yeah.
Chlorine has been investigated thoroughly in the literature as being a high, high toxic element that can go into your bloodstream within minutes of you swimming in the pool that has been chlorinated.
Wow.
And I was a swimmer all summer long. I would go underwater, you know, and so what do? You don't breathe. So as soon as you come out, all this water that you've pushed out of your mouth and nose to prevent from choking goes right back in.
Well, so, you know, we're all affected by things in our environment. We are. I'm thinking of Dr. Alvin Dannenberg, who was a dentist for many, many years, and he's got stage four.
Melanoma?
It?
No. It's
pancreatic?
It's the cancer of the bone marrow.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh.
And but you know, his
myeloma.
There it is. Myeloma. But you know, a lot of people believe that's from being a dentist and being exposed to all that radiation year after year after year. And
it's
so, you know, we all have things in our careers, in our world, in our homes that we're exposed to daily.
Absolutely. The jewelry that you may be wearing, nobody pays attention to those details. The cosmetics that you put on, the eyelash, you know, extenders, all of those glues that you put on, not knowingly, you know, the shampoos and the lotions and the potions and the creams that we put on. The sunscreens can contain benzene. That's a highly toxic and volatile type of chemical.
Well, and if you couple it along with bad food, no exercise, bad water, you know, so many different things in your environment,
stressed
too much stress.
Life.
I was just thinking that. Too much
stress. Life.
Yeah.
Yes,
it causes cancer.
That's right. Because technically speaking, we're all exposed to the same amount of toxins, right? Two brothers, two sisters who grow up in the same household. There's no different you know, levels of toxins coming in. However, one might get predisposed to developing Parkinson at a young age, like I was, because I was thinner than my brothers.
Right.
And the weight ratio to the chemicals is important in Parkinson's.
Wow.
I was skinny as a rail, so my father was he hated bugs. So he would walk in with his DEET, you remember DEET?
Oh, yeah.
And he would spray the daggone thing till we couldn't even breathe.
Wow.
And I remember having chest wheezing after he was spraying all around the angles in the room, and my brothers were fine. They were playing for hours and hours, and I was choking in the side of the room.
Wow.
So it all depends on how your body is susceptible or not, but toxins are everywhere.
And Parkinson's is neurological, right?
Absolutely. It's a neurodegenerative disease that does not go back. In other words, once you start it, it's like a locomotive that you cannot stop.
Really?
Until it gets to the station, and the station is death, unfortunately. But I'm not a pessimistic person, so I always look at it, I look at ways that I could arrest Parkinson. So I have a friend with me.
Because
today.
There is no cure.
There is
no
cure. There's no cure. So there's no avoiding it. But I am like the justice, you know, Justice Ruth Ginsburg.
Oh, I love her.
Ruth Ginsburg is my hero. She had cancer, as you know, and
twice.
She came back twice.
Yeah.
She came back with a vengeance, and she's positive. She goes to the gym 3 to 4 times a week. Not that she needs to. Lord knows she doesn't need
to.
Have
you seen
the
documentary, RBG?
Yes, I did. And I am so
fabulous.
Enamored. Yes. But much like her, I don't want to, well, for once, accept this as a death sentence. It is not. I'm playing tennis. I'm walking fast. I'm doing bicycling. I'm hiking mountains. I'm the epitome of a normal person, as normal as we can be, if such a beast exists out there. I don't know that it does, but I'm as normal as they come. I drive perfectly independently, and I've had this for 8 years.
Wow, and this can hit you at a young age, too. I'm thinking of Michael J. Fox. He was
27?
Like 27.
Horrible.
So we do need to pay attention to our environment, our stress levels, our food that we eat, all these things that we're exposed to.
Amalgams in our teeth. I mean, some people come to me because I'm a nutritionist. I have a whole protocol about removing your mercury amalgams. If you have any, you need to, you as the listeners, need to really pay attention to that and go to a doctor who is a specialist at removing them. Not just getting the drill going. And
there's not a lot of them.
No, there are not.
There's only a few. Even in Dallas-Fort Worth, a major metropolitan city, there's only a few that will do it.
Correct.
So
you got to have an oxygen mask over your nose to prevent you from breathing in the organic mercury gases when they're removing it, as well as a dam behind your teeth.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's extensive. Well, so, you know, what are the symptoms of Parkinson's? Mm-hmm. The physical, emotional, and cognitive.
Unfortunately, Parkinson's affects you on many levels. The main symptoms are gait imbalance. You can freeze, so your feet get stuck on the ground, like you're wearing steel shoes and you can't lift your feet. Mm-hmm. It's a very debilitating mm-hmm. type of a feeling. Then you can get stiff around the joints. Some people, like myself, mm-hmm. I started feeling joint stiffness. So your hands kind of get stuck together. Your handwriting goes down the pots because your fingers don't open up mm-hmm. easily. Tremors, of course, as you get more advanced, tremors show up. But at a lot of levels, you may show up. These symptoms show up at different times, of course. The first stage, you may develop the symptoms on the one side of the body, but as it progresses, it can evolve to the other side.
Well, I love your courage.
Thank you.
And talking about this and encouraging all of us to get over struggles in our life and just continue to be courageous and push forward.
Exactly.
Because that's what it's all about. There's not one person I know that doesn't struggle with something.
Exactly.
And so this is very encouraging. I think we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to pick this back up. A lot of things I want to talk about. What medications help with this? And how to at least arrest the symptoms of Parkinson's, because you've done that.
That's absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, everyone, stay tuned. More coming up with Faye Elahi. You're listening to One Life Radio. One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio. Welcome back to One Life Radio, everyone. This is Bernadette with Anthony Cernelia, Aviana Barrientos, and Faye Elahi. I want to let you know that you can go to our website, oneliferadio.com, to download and listen to our podcast or subscribe to our newsletter. You can also go to iHeartMedia.com to listen live or download the free iHeartRadio app and listen to us from anywhere in the world. Again, another big shout out to all of our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior. You can get it at Vitamin Shoppe, put it in your smoothie at Smoothie King. Sun Warrior is a premium all-natural raw superfood company dedicated to providing the best vegan plant-based protein powders and supplements. Go to sunwarrior.com to learn more about all of their products and use the code OLR for 20% off. And our newest sponsor, Enviromedica, this is a company that I have been using their products mm-hmm. for years. Truly, they make some of the best probiotics. Yes. It's an incredible company. It's family-owned. Enviromedica was founded to combat the negative impacts, which we're talking about here today with Faye Elahi of the Modern World, with a mission to further the principles of evolutionary medicine as a new paradigm to healing. Their products really do reflect symbiotic combinations that occur in nature, utilizing only the purest ingredients from all around the world. Mm-hmm. Check them out at enviromedica.com. And of course, Crazy Water, call us crazy. We don't mind. Crazy Water's been making a lot of people very happy and feel good since 1881, and it is the only mineral water bottled in Texas. So Crazy Water, check them out. You can actually order it too from Amazon.com. I've done that before and sent it to my brother. So that's awesome. A brother that lives in Houston, and I send it to him sometimes. And of course, Paleo Magazine, visit them at paleomagonline.com to download the digital version or find a store near you and pick up a copy. I'm going to Natural Grocers later on today to get some dog food. We were talking about dog food at the beginning of the show for all my 9 dogs. And so that's true. That's typically where I pick up my copy of Paleo Magazine and the Wellbeing Journal. They sell that there as well. Wellbeing Journal is always heralding the integration of medicine with physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, and social aspects of health. And of course, Thorne Research, you have higher standards, and so do we. Shop our Thorne Dispensary for 20% off and free shipping on every order. Go to oneliferadio.com/Thorne. That's T-H-O-R-N-E for everything that you need. So, Faye, always great to have you in studio
Thank
today.
You.
You're so welcome, and I've got to take a breath there.
Absolutely.
From all that talking, I'm ready to let you take the wheel.
ready to tackle it.
Oh my gosh! So Faye is a wonderful woman. She really is, she is a psychologist and nutritionist with a private practice here in Dallas, Texas. Since 2001, she specializes in food allergies, food intolerances, celiac, gluten sensitivity, ADD, ADHD, and autism spectrum disorders. She has helped healed a lot of children here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, probably all over the country.
Yes.
Especially with all the technology we have now, you could do virtual
Skype.
Skype and all that. It's great to have you in studio. Thank We're talking you. About Parkinson's, mm-hmm. Diet, lifestyle, and Parkinson's mm-hmm. particularly. And you can find Faye at her website, specialneedsnutrition.com or glutenfreenutritionforlife.com. That's mm-hmm. glutenfreenutritionforlife.com. So we're talking about your Parkinson's mm-hmm. disease that you were diagnosed with mm-hmm. 8 years ago.
That's right.
Okay, so what are the stages of Parkinson's?
The first stage happens on one side of the body where the person may have some gait imbalance, some motor issues with grabbing objects and so on and so forth. They could have the foot dropping. That was my first symptom. My mm-hmm. foot dropped. And that drew me to...
Like when you're walking, your foot
when
just...
you're walking, your foot drops.
Wow.
It's incredible. And the interesting thing is, Bernadette, that the symptom of B12 deficiency could also be a foot drop.
Really?
Yes. So that's where, as a nutritionist, I was trained to look for deficiency symptoms, right? Not Parkinson's. So I went ahead and started buying sublingual B12 mm-hmm. and getting different pills. Nothing was helping mm-hmm. it. And I was basically a public hazard because imagine you're driving and I'm a righty and I'm driving and I'm trying to brake with my right foot. My brain was telling my foot to brake. Otherwise, I was going to run into a high traffic area, but my foot was not responding.
Oh, wow.
So that's the kind of symptom that people should be aware of and immediately seek assistance of a neurologist.
Absolutely. Well, you know, how does diet, nutrition, and lifestyle help manage the symptoms?
It helps it tremendously. An example of a lifestyle, for instance, if you are a go person, mm-hmm. like an Energizer Bunny, right?
Like
you are. Exactly.
How did you know that's my nickname?
Oh, I know it. I know you enough. And you just go until you drop. Well, having breaks, regular breaks, and I'm not talking more than 10 minutes. So everybody can manage to carve 10 minutes out of their busy days.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can just drop everything and close your eyes wherever you might be, not while driving, of course, but you could be pulling over and closing your eyes and meditating or resting. If you can't go home, of course, and rest. But the ideal thing would be to go home and take a 10-minute nap. I mm-hmm. call it power nap.
Yeah.
That re-energizes your mitochondria, which is your cell battery. We all have mitochondria in our bodies. Every cell, every 7 trillion cell in our body has that. And yet we don't think about nourishing that mm-hmm. mitochondria. We think about just feeding ourselves.
Well, a lot of cultures believe, it's very much part of their culture.
That's
my father was Italian. He lived a very long, healthy life, and he believed in the power nap.
That's right.
A good siesta.
That's right.
It gets you going again. So that is a very big component in Parkinsonian's life. Another lifestyle issue is exercise. Mm. If you don't move it, I say you lose it.
Absolutely.
I've read that all these years and it never sunk in because I was an exerciser to begin with. But if you don't even stretch,
mm-hmm.
you will lose that joint flexibility.
Right.
So that's where yoga and flexibility comes in.
Oh, yoga's huge.
Isn't it? Even if you're in a wheelchair out there, you have hope. There is hope. You got to get up there and get some cans of soup out of your pantry and hold on to them and start doing anti-gravity exercises.
There you go.
Make the figure eight with your arms or lift them up above your head, whatever you might want to do. But move it or you lose it. Another thing that's lifestyle and diet really is having regular meals. I used to go, Bernadette, and skip meals.
That's me right now.
Oh, we need to get some food out of our purses. But I seriously have an emergency kit at all times in my car. Yes, even in the heat of Texas, I have some bars that don't have chocolate or anything that could be perishable. And they're nuts or seed-based. And I have them in my glove compartment. And if I'm indoors, I have them in my purse. So you have to stash away these things for the rainy day.
Okay, like a little squirrel.
Like a little squirrel. Like a mice. Otherwise, you'll drop, literally drop. And I have been guilty of going from dropping kids to school, going to two offices, coming back, picking them up, doing homework, shopping, cooking, dinner, then after dinner homework, then doing the wash, load of wash so that they can have clean clothes.
Oh, yeah.
And then by the time it's 9 or 10, you're a dead person.
Yeah, yeah.
That's basically a bad lifestyle.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to have you back to talk more about this because I know that you've learned some really big lessons from this, as we all do when we struggle through things that are very, very difficult and knock us down, but we climb back up,
That's right.
And stand up straight and tall.
Stand up.
I love the positive message. So great. What a great way to end the week and the show. Thank you so much, Faye Elahi. You can find her at glutenfreenutritionforlife.com or specialneedsnutrition.com. And let's go grab something to eat.
Absolutely. Time to eat.
Everyone, have a fabulous weekend. You're not going to get it back. Enjoy it. You know, pet your pets and hug your kids and love yourself, because you only get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today. You want to finish it?
Have a positive life.
There you go.
One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior Plant-Based Protein. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Crazy Water, the only mineral water bottled in Texas. Honest Hemp, happy, healthy, honest CBD. Use the code OLR for 20% off. Nature's Plate, plant-based meals to go. Paleo Magazine, Wellbeing Journal, and the International Society of Sports Nutrition. Be sure to go to our Thorne Research Dispensary on our website for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.